Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Artists Helping Artists. You have reached the number one art show on Blog Talk Radio. This is Leslie Seda, and I think I have my co-host on the line. Margaret, are you on the line? No, she is actually reaching out to our guest to get her on the line, so it's just me for now. All is good, and we are so excited for our guest. But we're going to take a little time to talk about, I guess I'll talk to myself, about the wedding that just happened this last weekend. If you don't know, my oldest son, Andrew, got married. And Margaret, I knew you were, if you were on the line before, you would have asked me about the wedding, right?
Absolutely.
Let me just pull on our guest one second, okay? Kathy?
Yes.
Hi. Okay, you're on the phone live. Welcome to the AHA show.
Okay. How are you? Sorry,
Margaret and I were
that I was supposed to call you.
Margaret and I we're just getting on the phone, just doing a little housekeeping. And of course I had to talk about my son's wedding since it was on Saturday. But
wonderful.
Yes, you can check out my Instagram or everything else to see how amazing it was, but you know, Margaret, I have super high expectations, like really high expectations, and every single one was surpassed, I have to say.
Oh,
it truly was incredible.
Oh, how wonderful.
So, yeah, it was
wonderful.
Fabulous. So incredible. So I'm thrilled, and I'm glad it's behind us. Now I just have to play catch up, which is great.
Very good.
And Margaret, do you have any news about your art career?
Oh my God! I'll be very brief. I want you to know, during our last show, I admitted that I have a lot of equipment, redundant equipment in my life, like lots of easels. Particularly, I had some hilarious emails from people who could relate to this. And I want you to know that last week I committed to an outside studio. I am going to be painting out of my new studio in the SOA area of Boston. I'm thrilled beyond words.
Wonderful.
Yep. My husband keeps telling me that now I'm with all the hip kids, and
That's right.
But guess what I need for my new studio?
That's you do not need another easel. There's no way.
I do.
That's impossible.
Don't even tell me that. I'm looking at this as furniture. This is like a presentation of who I am. So, yes, I am. And I was driving from New York to Boston. Kathy can probably relate to this. And I had never stopped at Jerry's Artorama in person. Mm-hmm. So I went in and I touched all of the easels they had on display and played with them. And I didn't like any as much as I like mine. So there you go. We'll see where I go with that.
Oh, my God.
You're
talking about a big studio easel is what you're looking for.
Right? It is. Geez,
yeah.
It's such a, I have such a problem with this. Anyway.
Well, I have a big Hughes easel in my studio, and that's absolutely, I love it. Oh. I've had it probably for 4 or 5 years now.
Well, Margaret, why don't you go ahead and introduce Kathy, because we kind of brought her on suddenly, but why don't you go ahead and read some information from her bio, and then we'll get started.
Well, I'll tell you all, I could go on and on about Kathy Anderson forever, because, I'll be really brief. I'll be really brief in this introduction. Any of our listeners who are not familiar with Kathy's work, I will tell you that as we're speaking, you should, either go on Instagram or to her website to check it out. And it's KathyAndersonStudio.com. And on her bio, she talks a lot about how the quote is that my passion for painting is rooted in my garden. And as soon as I read that, I thought, dear God, kindred spirits, because my garden is blooming now, and all I can do is cut and pull them into my studio and take my little French easel out there, and it's just addictive. So for Kathy, I know she says, nature has always spoken to me, whether it's the rushing of a waterfall or the burst of new green in the spring.
Yeah.
I am awed by the beauty around me, and I love to share my vision through my paintings. Right there, if that isn't the best artist statement you've ever read, it's no
nonsense.
Oh, my gosh. It's right to the point. I am so tired of artist statements that seem their mission is to use three-syllable words and say next to nothing. So the most exciting
well,
thing...
Well, luckily, I don't know any three-syllable words, so that lets that out for me.
That's the way we like it. So, you know, we can talk about your sort of the obvious, you know, going to school. We will address all that. But I just want our listeners to know that Kathy was a commercial, she was studying commercial art. She switched
I did.
To watercolor.
I did
color.
Not. It was not a fit for me at all.
Yeah. Well, you know, I will say, I think in those days, because it's what I think we all encountered, people worried about you making your life as an artist, so they say, oh, you should do commercial art. And then you'd find out that maybe that wasn't what you should be doing at all. It was, I know my father thought, what is this fine art stuff? You should be doing commercial art. And I just ignored him. But you went from being a watercolorist, and again, listeners, Kathy is a member of the National Arts Club in New York, Selma Gundy Club, the Oil Painters of America, Allied Artists of America, Connecticut Watercolor Society, and then, how exciting, Putney Painters. I believe you were a charter member there.
Just
and,
about.
And
I think I came to, like, the third gathering.
Oh,
yeah.
Amazing.
I know.
You know, what an exciting thing. But your awards and these prizes that you've won, I won't sort of list them all. But
no.
I'll say, Kathy is always winning. You are always being recognized for just the most outstanding, glorious work. And I kind of wonder how you stay humble, but we'll get to that during our interview.
God, Margaret, I don't know what to say now.
yeah, well, you better
very
sound
nice.
Humble. Listen, you're the one. And, you know, for what it's worth, looking through your Instagram, I think one of the coolest things is that you are an artist who doesn't sort of sit comfortably in the pocket. Everyone, I think of you as a floor, you know, landscape painter, floral painter. And then you look and I see that you're doing portrait work and you're copying Sargent works just sort of for the exercise and fun of it. And it blows me away because I wish you would give me a daily prescriptive because I have a feeling when people ask how you keep growing as an artist, sort of what you're doing is the very thing everyone should try to do.
I know. I'll tell you that it's very, very difficult to stick with it, especially, as you know, Margaret, with the growing season right now. Like, my goal was to do at least 2 Sargent portraits a week, and I have not, because all of a sudden the daffodils are out, and then the tulips, and then the forsythia, and then it was like I was frantically, and I made a pledge to myself that I was going to cut way back on my commitments so that I could work on the portraits and figures. It's just a skill that I really want. I love painting people. I've just never spent the time, but to really delve into it. But then I realized that I set my own commitments because I can't. I'm out in the garden right now painting a giant poppy painting, and I'm looking at the side of my view and I see my peonies are blooming and like everything's rushing ahead of me. So I'm trying to figure out, oh my God, what do I do? Stop the poppies. The poppies are dead. I don't know why I'm even out there still painting them. And it's like, oh my God, that's a whole other story.
But isn't that the beauty of spring? Yeah. So, Leslie, I'm going to let you launch into the questions.
Thank you.
And then we'll just take it from there.
Yeah,
okay,
go ahead,
so Kathy.
I can ramble on, so stop me.
Okay.
You're not alone.
Well, I just want to start with kind of how you began and, you know, how, at what point did you know you were an artist? Were there any early influences? Please tell.
Well, you know, it's not a very long story. When I was in high school, it was the only thing I knew how to do, and at that time, I mean, I'm old enough that, like you said, going into commercial art was what people did when they wanted to go into art, so that's what I did. I you know, went into SUNY Farmingdale and studied advertising, art, and design, and I left after a year and a half because it was just, I couldn't come up with the ideas. I hated the precision work. I couldn't do it. And then I always worked in watercolors actually when I was young, and when I had my children, I used to do the outdoor shows with watercolors. But anyway, art was the only thing I knew how to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's the short answer.
Were there any people that influenced you along the way?
Any what?
People or artists that influenced you?
Not at that age so much, but meeting Richard Schmidt and the Putt, which was like over 20 years ago. You know, I had artists that influenced me that I worked with that, you know, that are local people that live in my town that I studied with, Frank Federico and Charles Ray. These are older people that are, you know, not probably nationally known at this point. Just working with watercolors and then suddenly realizing that I never painted watercolors. Well, that's another question, isn't it? I don't know if you want me to start with that. But I'll let you ask the next question.
Well, we can look around. All right. So here's what one of the first things I was curious about, because it's, all questions are born out of our personal experience, I think. But did you worry about, once you left school and you decided you wanted to do watercolors, did you worry about, like, the financial stability of making your life as an artist and painting, or was it things like those outdoor shows that kind of helped
not
you?
Not at that time, because there was a big gap in between college and my starting to seriously work as an artist, where I worked for United Airlines and I was a ticket agent at Kennedy Airport. So during that time,
no,
I sort of just dabbled in art. I wasn't serious about really, you know, pursuing it. And it was more when I started with my children when they were young, and I joined the Ridgefield Guild of Artists. And, you know, I've been very fortunate that I've had my husband as, you know, as a source of income. So that was a very lucky thing for me. The biggest change I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go.
So the biggest change in thinking of a financial future, which happened to me, was I had a mural business for about 7 years, and I was at that time I had transitioned also into oils, and that was sort of when I met Richard, and when I realized that my mural business wasn't really quite making it anymore, because I depended on my partners to get the jobs, and I wasn't good at that either. So, and that's when I started working full time as an artist and getting nervous, because our kids were getting a little bit older, you know, and I needed to pull in an income, and I thought, oh my God, how can I make money just as with selling paintings? Because I sold lots of paintings, but watercolors and very, very inexpensive. Not that I'm saying watercolors are expensive, but for what I was doing. But when I met Richard and the Putney Painters, that was really the first time I realized that there's all levels of making a living as an artist. And I met a lot of people there that made really good livings as artists. You know, it's just you do what you have to do, you know, depending on if you're raising a family and you're the sole source of income, that's different than me, who had a source of income but needed to bring in more money. Do you know what I mean? So.
Yeah. I think we have to ask the question as to how did you ever find the Putney?
Hey, Margaret, I have to interrupt you for Margaret.
Yeah.
For some reason, when you guys went off the line, our show's going to end in 1 minute. So I can't believe this. I don't know what to do. Pardon?
Okay, tell us what to do.
Thanks for the interview.
I know. Yeah, that was a great interview now, wasn't it? What the heck can I do?
They're just going to kick us out.
Well, I think it'll still record. I just think people have to listen to it recording, so I think we'll be fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
I think okay. Let's just keep talking. Sorry.
So how did you find them? How did that come about?
How did I find the Putney Painters?
Yeah.
Well, I did an outdoor show in Connecticut every year, and it was happened to be the town where Richard lived for quite a long time, and his girls raised his girls there, and he used to come back every year, the generous soul that he's always been, and he came back and he was doing a demo, and when I went to pick my work up at the end, somebody told me that he bought one of my paintings, so I was like, what? Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Ooh.
So, and actually that was a watercolor, a gouache actually. And so the next year I went back and went to his demo and I introduced myself and said, oh, you brought my painting last year. I said, you probably threw it out when you got home. I like made stupid jokes. And then he invited me because he had talked about Putney and I thought it was a class. So I asked him if I could sign up for his class. And he said, oh, no, it's not a class. Just come up and paint with us. It was like 2.5 hours from my house. So I went up the following Saturday. I had no idea what I was getting into. It was a portrait day. It was the first time I've painted a portrait. I painted a portrait from life because we did paint portraits half the time in Putney. We still mm-hmm. do. And I thought, well, God, I'm not going to drive up here all the time, I guess. And meanwhile, 20-some-odd years later, I still drive up there. I mean, who wouldn't, right? So...
Absolutely.
Yeah, we've become very, very close friends. And his wife, Nancy Guzik, of course, prominent artist of herself, her and I are very, very close friends. So it's been a wonderful relationship.
That's amazing.
That's
incredible.
Really is.
So I have a question for you, Kathy. How did you and why did you make the transition from watercolor to oil?
I think I was not really a natural watercolorist because I used to
mm-hmm.
work pretty opaquely. And I transitioned into gouache, at least using white paint with gouache, pretty fast. I never really painted transparent watercolor. I remember I used to, like, oh, God, this isn't, like, enough punch for me. And I squeeze paint out and just stick it on there. And finally I realized, well, this is crazy. Why don't I try oil? So I did, and I still do watercolors once in a while, just, you know, little sketches and things, but... and, of course, when I saw the Sargent show in Brooklyn, I went out and bought new paint and new brushes.
One's harder than the other, or are they just different?
Well, I like to say what Dean Mitchell, I heard him say once, that don't paint in watercolors if you can't draw. That's for sure. And that's for sure. You know, that's, I think oils are much more forgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So true.
It amazes me. I think a lot of people start with watercolors because they're more accessible. You know,
mm-hmm.
like it seems easier. They're easier to transport. They don't have to worry about medium and things. Not that they would have
definitely.
To. But,
definitely.
But then
yeah.
they get into it, and so many people get discouraged because it is so darn hard. you know, I always laugh when people say, oh, no, I don't do oil. I just stick to watercolor. And I want to say, seriously, because oils are a lot easier. Anyway, that's
well,
just
it's true,
my...
except for all of the things that are involved with oil painting are harder. You know, the physical
right.
things, the cleaning
right,
and the
absolutely.
Solvents and everything. So.
Yeah, but we love it, don't we?
I do.
Yes, you do. So can you share with us... some of the milestones sort of in your creative life? Obviously, I know that this whole happening, you know, of meeting Richard and Nancy and heading up, that's got to be a pivotal moment in your life. I'm wondering if there were any others because, you know, as I said earlier, you are such a real person, and yet I can't imagine anybody else that sort of travels. You're traveling at the pretty – you're at the big league of if I'm with the hip kids in town, you're in the big league.
I don't know about that.
I do. Without a doubt in my mind. But I'm kind of curious, were there any other milestones sort of along the way in your career that you think were pivotal moments that maybe changed?
Yes, and I actually love to talk about it because it's something that I'm proud of myself about, that I took a big risk, was I entered the Telluride Plein Air competition a long, long time ago. And when I entered, I didn't even know what it really was. So I entered and I was accepted, and I kind of thought it was a show, and I thought I was going to be sending paintings. And it's like, no, you're going to be sending yourself. So, and I'm not a fast painter, and I don't usually finish things outside from life, certainly not in one sitting. Like the painting I'm working on right now, I just brought everything in before we talked, and it's my third day out there on it. It's big. But anyway, I just said yes. I said, okay, yep, I'm going to go, and I'll figure out what the heck it is. And that absolutely changed my life. I've met lifelong friends, for one thing, and painting for plein air shows just hones your skills and ups your level of painting so high. You know, I realized what, you know, it was a whole different way of painting. I did it for years. I did it, to tell you right, for 7 years. And I'm actually a member of the Rocky Mountain Plein Air Painters. I was there last summer in the Tetons. And for me, I'm not like all my friends where they just go out there and they just nail that painting. And I respect their skills so much on knowing how to edit and simplify and capture what's, you know, important right away.
Mm-hmm.
I still can't do that, really. I have to go back usually to the site 2 times at least, and, you know, maybe 3 times I have to go back, and, you know, I don't get it the first time. So it's a skill that I highly respect, but I've gotten so much faster, and I want to say that faster is not a goal, but faster to me means that you are skilled enough that you know how what to pick out, you know, and what
yes.
that to me is like. So I mean, that was one of the biggest changes of my life as far as raising my skills as
yeah.
an artist, and then joining the National Arts Club and meeting so many wonderful people there. I have sadly that Everett Raymond Kinsler, who just died.
Oh.
Last week, he's a very, very close friend. Also, he lives only 10 minutes from me. And, you know, I met him through the arts club and a very good friend, sculptor Babette Block and Mark Mellon.
Mm-hmm.
And just very, very sad to have lost him this week. So, last week. But
yeah.
that was another probably change and something else that, you know, barely could afford to join at the time, but I just decided it would be a good thing for me. And it's, I guess the bottom line is that you really need to take risks. Don't ever say you can't do something, or, you know, oh, I'm afraid to do that because I don't know how, or something like that. It's like you just have to say yes and then figure out how to do it.
You know, along those lines, you know, every artist.
What?
I was going to say, along those lines, every artist truly kind of makes mistakes along the way. Can you recall any that maybe seemed like a disaster at the time, but really kind of ended up needing to be what kept you growing?
Well, probably going to Telluride.
kind of sounds like it.
I'm like, what? I was sobbing in the bathroom one time, I remember, when I was there, really sobbing and sobbing. What am I doing? I don't know what to do here. And,
oh my gosh.
Isn't that funny? Like, if only we had crystal balls that could tell us everything really does, and it always does work out.
But when you left there, Kathy, were you like, okay, I get this. This is super cool. I'm so glad I did it. Or were you still hiding in the bathroom?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. No, I think I hid in the bathroom for a couple more years after that, but not for the same reason. No, the first year by the time I finished, I was ecstatic. I never loved anything so much in my life as hiking up, you know, into the mountain and painting and, you know, weather conditions. And, it's not so bad out there as it is here, weather conditions. But, you know, I loved it. I loved it so much. And I miss it so much doing that whole circuit, you know, now. Mm. But I don't do it anywhere near as much. Probably because I wasn't teaching at that time. Now I'm teaching workshops, so I travel a little too much. So, but I still keep the Rocky Mountain Plein Air Painters. When they have something, I really try to do it.
Oh, it's like Richard Schmid going back to Connecticut. You know, you have to keep those connections alive.
Yes,
I think it's
definitely
really important.
very important. Yep.
So I'm kind of curious. I will start off this next question by saying here in New England, we had the most awful spring I can remember. It rained, it seemed like weeks on end. But what no one sort of told us was that it would result in the most gorgeous gardens. I mean, everything is verdant green. I've never seen my roses look better. And it makes me sort of think about you. And I have to assume either you or someone that you have a close relationship with is spending a good amount of time gardening. So
it's
I kind of wanted to know.
It's me.
Yeah. So were you always a flower grower? And this question is completely because I was curious. And do you grow only flowers or do you grow vegetables as well?
When my kids were little, I grew a lot of vegetables. Now I have cherry tomatoes on the deck and I have lettuce and kale and basil in the garden, and that's it. I buy my tomatoes because my tomatoes never seem to make it. They rot or something, you know. I can't do both anymore, so.
Yeah.
And I've made lots of good friends that are master gardeners, so I go to their garden. My garden is fabulous in the spring and in the early summer, and then I kind of lose it after that.
Yeah.
So, definitely, it's really hard, as you gardeners know, to work out in your garden for 2 hours. It wipes me out, so I have to try to balance it and say, well, I'm going to paint first and go out at 3 o'clock or something, and you know, whatever, however.
It's when I try to paint in my garden that as I'm painting, I'm thinking, oh, gosh, I've got a weed over there. I can't believe I let that go.
I do the same thing. I do the exact same thing. All of a sudden I put my paintbrush down and I'm weeding.
Yeah, because it's like you can't get it out of your sight line. It's like it's there. It's making fun of me.
You guys are so funny.
I remember you were going to ask something about the weather because, interestingly, my pale pink rhododendron was so gorgeous this year. Actually, I posted a painting of it. My block-in. It was so gorgeous this year, and I could not get out there when the sun was out, you know, and it rained, like you said, it was raining so much, and I really wanted to do it outside, but I just couldn't do it, so I realized, oh, I'm going to lose them, so that I brought a whole big armful of them inside, and I set them all up. I had them hanging from my backdrop and everything. I had the whole thing. But as it is, the last thing I posted, it's probably 70% done, and now I don't have the rhododendrons anymore. So that's when I wind up having to – I have lots of photos, I have to rely on my memory. I've got everything in there. I've got the light in there. I've got, you know, the temperature in there. I've got if I have more drawing to do, that's what I use the photo for some of the drawing, and then just have to make it up from the painting, finish the painting.
Oh, that's wonderful.
You know, Margaret and I are drooling about the thought of taking one of your workshops. We wanted to ask you some questions.
Oh, so nice of you. Thank you.
I know you've got, maybe 4 more this year, and you teach here and abroad. What advice would you give to anyone who's preparing to come to a workshop?
Oh, my God. I have advice. Please, please check all your equipment. Have a good setup. I can't tell you how frustrating it is when people come with, you know, a push-rod box or something. It doesn't work or it's brand new and they've never used it and they don't know how to use it. And I'm so, you know, I am inept with mechanical things, so if it's a box I'm not used to, I can't figure out how to work it either, and you know, or the wrong supplies or some of the supplies. I mean, to me the most important supply is your surface, an oil prime linen surface, and of course the brushes, rosemary brushes, and then but getting the glass palette, you know, people that come with paper palettes, that's always a disaster. And equipment, I think, if you're traveling, especially if you're talking about overseas or anywhere, actually, coming with the right equipment, because, I teach plein air and studio workshops, the plein air workshops, so if you aren't equipped right and you're not comfortable, you know, with a, mm-hmm. a nice an umbrella that you might need. You can't paint when you're miserable.
Right.
You just can't. You can't.
Got it. How do you feel about
yeah.
people trying to leave their preconceived notions at the entry and coming in and being open-minded? Do you find that's sometimes an issue?
What do you mean? What would you say that again? People coming in with...
Coming in with kind of, this is how I've always painted, so I'm going to paint this way. I find it's hard sometimes to get students to open their mind, and you want to say, but you know, you signed up for this workshop, and let's try this, and and it's difficult for a lot of people because it's nerve-wracking, and everybody wants their painting to look good, and it's just, I wondered if you had any tricks on how you get people to try different methods and techniques. When perhaps
well, you know
they
what?
Come...
I've really only had a handful of people like that, believe it or not.
Oh, that's great.
This is the way I paint. And mm-hmm. I can remember one student, I actually said, finally, there were so many issues with this one person. I finally said, well, I'm just curious as to why you're taking my workshop.
That makes sense.
But,
yeah. It's funny.
You know what? People come to the workshop and they're paying good money to study with me, and if I'm not going to fight with you, if this is what you definitely just want to do, then go ahead, do it. What am I going to do?
Absolutely.
You know.
Yeah.
So it's not. I try to encourage as much as I can, but that's as far as really you can take it. But like
right.
I said, I haven't had that many people like that. I have so many people that have like, oh no, I want to do what you're doing. You know, which is so wonderful, and it's so wonderful to go to a workshop and not have to think of completing a painting. You know, like I'm
right.
so excited to teaching in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I have all these different things that I want to teach this time, you know, a little bit different, and I'm just really excited about new things.
That's wonderful.
So I've always wondered about this because Leslie has taught a billion workshops. I have not. I'm a taker, not a teacher. And I'm curious, are there any questions that you find you are asked every single time? There's got to be something that, you know,
yep.
you hear over
what
and over.
What did you mix to make that color? That's it. How did you make that color?
Isn't that funny?
Dab of that pile.
That's
it. That's it. I think everyone who teaches will say that same thing.
Yeah. Interesting. I know you're very specific to the materials that you ask students to bring. And I'm curious, what is it about the paints that you use that make it important to the way you paint?
Well, I use mostly Michael Harding and Rembrandt, more
mm-hmm.
Rembrandt, actually. Well, I love the way Rembrandt paints kind of flow, and they're so juicy, and Michael Harding's are so color-intensive.
Mm-hmm.
What is it about? I don't know. You know, I don't really stress. My materials list lists specific brands, but I
mm-hmm.
usually tell people, please don't go out and buy everything that I have on the list. You know, I'm happy to squeeze out colors that I have on that list for people to try. But, you know, I don't know. I think we all just have our favorites. I mean, I use Rembrandt Viridian,
yeah.
for example, and when somebody comes in with a different Viridian, it's like, oh, this is more blue. You know, I don't
mm-hmm.
work with it. But, you know, it's just... I get used to things. But I use two oranges, Rembrandt and Michael Harding. They're very different.
Mm-hmm.
But more when I paint florals.
Yeah.
I've been working a lot with limited palette on some landscapes and things, which I really, and especially portraits. Boy, that's something I wish I had tried 25 years ago, working with a limited palette doing portraits.
Yeah.
While you're trying to learn and get the features and the drawing and everything else and the values. If you limit your palette, it's really freeing and easy.
Great advice.
Limited, did Sargent use a limited palette? John Singer Sargent, when he was doing portraits, did he use a limited palette?
I don't know that he used one when he was doing portraits. I'm pretty sure he did something like with burnt sienna and ultramarine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really sure. I should know that, but I don't. I mean, the Zorn palette is what most people are.
Yes. That Zorn, there was a Zorn show that was traveling through a few years ago, and I've got to tell you, I think that was one of my favorite shows that I've seen in the last 20 years. So.
Mm-hmm. Was that, yeah. I went to one in Boston, I think it was in Boston, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I saw that show too. That
was
unbelievable.
Wasn't it? Oh, I know. Well, there you go. All right. I guess it's my turn, so I'm going to launch here and say I've read probably the description of every workshop. And I know that you paint a lot from life and often out in the garden. How do you handle, like, the weather here? Do you just, is that when you bring it into your studio, or will you actually paint in the rain if that's what's going on? And
I've painted in the rain.
Oh, yes. You have? Okay.
I remember a workshop in Charleston that it started raining, and my students were standing around holding umbrellas. I was doing a demo, holding umbrellas over me.
Oh. Well, like, I can see it up close.
That's right.
Great.
Yeah.
That is great.
You know, there's different things. I mean, I'm talking about this poppy painting that I'm trying to work on outside, and yesterday morning it was overcast, so I tried to bring the canvas out, and that didn't work. And it's really hard. That's why I started off with talking about a lot of my plein air painter friends from out west and how they can capture it quickly, that the light, and you know, you shouldn't paint when your light changes. Of course, I have to also say, when I just spent 11 days in Utah, and that light out there is a lot easier to work with than what we have here.
Oh.
I'll blame it on the atmosphere. I'll blame it on the state I live in.
There you go.
That's wonderful.
I
know, Kathy, that you paint with some unbelievable painters. Who do you absolutely love to paint with, and why? Is it everybody? Is it people?
You know,
who,
I'm very, very lucky that I have, like, different groups. But right here in Connecticut, I have, like, 6 or 7 friends, all women that live around here, that we paint together. And then when I go out west, the Rocky Mountain Plein Air Painters, oh, my God, I love them all so much. See them once a year. The Putney Painters, of course, is top of the list painting. I mean, Richard doesn't come anymore. Nancy comes sometimes, but we're still holding the group together. And then I have such great, like, Sue Lyon and I just went out to Utah together. We were out there for 11 days together. And, you know, I just adore her. And I'm just very lucky that I have a lot of friends all over the place that I just, you know, Stephanie Birdsall lives 2 minutes from me. She's one of my closest friends. We paint together.
Wow.
I love people.
I'm so
that,
jealous.
That, I love going out and painting with people. In Putney, we paint a lot of the times we paint in the studio. But I just love the camaraderie of going out plein air painting with friends. My girlfriend's here that we go up to Madison, Connecticut. I'm in the Susan Powell Gallery up there and painted on the water, on the rocks, and then went up in this beautiful hotel and had seafood dinner. And, like, it's like that is so fun. It is so fun.
That's where you know you have a really good life going, you know? Good company.
I know. I'm sorry. Young, you know. It took a long time.
Yes.
It took a long time, you know. It's like my life for the last 20 years has been so amazing. You know, I'm just so lucky.
No, you're
Daniel
so
Keyes,
talented.
Daniel Keyes and I.
You're so talented. Yes.
Yeah, you're not lucky. You're talented. Just so you know.
Kathy, can you tell us what your studio looks like?
Well, it's a big mess right now.
I'm glad
my
to hear
studio
that.
Has evolved 3 times. When we bought this house, it was just one little room with some windows, and then we put a greenhouse on it, and I painted out there, which was crazy because it had, you know, the no roof as a green, yeah, as a greenhouse. And then my son, who is a builder, then put 14-by-36-foot addition onto that. So I have the most glorious studio. I just love it in here. It's built by our son, first of all, and it has beautiful, you know, woodwork in it, and I have huge bookshelves with tons of books, and I don't have a North Light studio just because of the location of our house. We couldn't quite have that. I have, yep, Northeast lights that are pretty big, and I have really good blinds that go up and down so I can, you know, shut them off. And everything is on wheels, you know, my work table and my still life stand and everything's on wheels, my flat file, so I can move things around. And it's very comfortable. I have a couch in here, like it was this little tiny couch that I got. Somebody said to me, oh, why don't you take that couch out because you have so much more room. I'm like, are you kidding? I'm sitting on a couch right now. My favorite thing to do, either the morning or the night, morning coffee, night wine, is to sit and look at my painting, you know, think, mm-hmm, what's wrong with that? What can I do to fix it? You know.
Amazing. Are there pictures of your studio on your website? I don't remember seeing them. Are there any?
I don't know, but I'm actually in a studio book that Michael Gormley put together a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to see it. It sounds incredible.
Yes, Evan Miller's studio, Babette Block and Mark Mellon's studio, mine.
Oh, great.
Dan Green, maybe.
Wow, that sounds amazing.
It's a studio book. I'll have to find that book, and maybe I'll post it.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah, that would be really, really fun to see. I would love that.
I love seeing where people work. I really
do. Me too.
It is nice, isn't it? Yeah. And of course, I have my places for my cats to sit.
So what's a typical day like in the life of Kathy Anderson?
Well, that's very funny. I read that question and my husband said, why don't you let me answer that one? Well, I'm very lazy in the morning. I'm a night person, so I get up and I stumble around and I have my breakfast and I sit down with the newspaper and I do my emails. And I stumble into work, you know. I guess what everybody's day is like. As a working artist, when you achieve a certain level, you almost can't do it unless you have somebody working for you or helping you. And I'm so lucky that my husband does that. He's my shipping department and my computer, my website, my photographer.
Mm-hmm.
My framer, he makes incredible gold leaf frames. I mean, I'm really lucky. All my friends hate me because of that. But he's just wonderful. I could not really do it without having him help me as much as he does.
Yeah.
But there's so much involved that people don't realize. My non-artist friends, you know, will say, you know, oh, you're so lucky you sit around painting. People don't realize how much else is involved, right? It's like crazy.
Yeah. A lot. I mean, we talk to a lot of artists, and they'll tell us 50% of their time is spent on the other stuff.
True.
Yeah. So to have someone help you, whether it's someone you're related to or someone, you know, who you hire, I think it can make all the difference in terms of balance.
It does make all the difference. Yeah, it's amazing.
All right. Now, I'm curious, do you have any specific goals in mind for the next few years? And that can be travel goals or art goals or personal goals. Is there something that you're hoping to accomplish?
Yeah, working on figure work and portrait. Not portraits as in the respect of portrait commissions or anything. That's not an interest of mine at all. But just really becoming skilled at portrait. In fact, I was interviewed at OPA. This is like ridiculous. I was interviewed at OPA, I think it was last year, and I announced in front of like 300 people. I said at that time it was my goal. And I said, I'm going to announce it right now that next year I'm going to be one of the finalists at Portrait Society.
Oh, God.
And I said, Simi, you know, Simi Jackson, who's also one of my good, really close friends.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, why did you say that? She asked me to do in front of a whole bunch of people. So did you meet your goal from last year? And meanwhile, I didn't even enter because I knew I had, did not have something that was of that would ever come through and end. But it's my goal
well,
for
that's
next
what
year.
Makes it, that's right. That's what makes it a goal.
That's right.
That's right.
A goal, it's something
and you can
support.
Just do it when the timing is best.
I will
oh,
do
I
when the timing
it.
Is best. Exactly.
That's
wonderful. Really what I want to do. And paint more animals. I love painting animals.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you have a kitty.
I know.
I said, and you have at least one kitty cat.
I have two cats,
so,
yes. Yeah. Two kitties.
Well, and if you get them to stay still, there you go.
So I have a question about your workshops, and I probably should have asked this earlier, but so I know you've got one in a couple weeks. You've got some in the fall, and then I think maybe after the first of the year. Are there any openings? Do you have any availability?
I think I do. I'm actually going back to Yorkshire this summer, but that's full because it's a small class. But
right.
I'm teaching at Landgrove, Vermont. You know, I don't do the registration for those, but I'm pretty sure
right.
they're probably all open at this point.
Okay.
I'm in
Perfect.
Scottsdale in
That's
January.
Great to know.
And,
I'd come to Landgrove, but I've got so much booked up there this year. I think Tom and Maureen will think I'm moving in. So I'm going to have
well,
my mail
like I told you the other
there.
Day, that is like one of my favorite places to be, really.
Leslie,
so
we're
going to
get
there.
You there. We
yes.
are going to get you there.
I would love
girl.
That.
Yeah,
right.
it is just wonderful.
It is
That's fantastic. Well, we have right. some questions that we ask at the end of every interview, and
mm-hmm.
all the answers can be very short, one-word answers. It's totally up to you. But
mm-hmm.
my first question is, what is your favorite art book?
I saw this, and of course, it's Richard Schmid's Olive Prima 2.
I was wondering if you were going to say that.
Of course, it's the art book that I pick up for to answer all my questions, but I have to add that I have so many books, and I know exactly what book to go for, to look at whatever I'm
oh,
painting.
Wow.
If I'm painting like leaves or something, I know just what book to go to. I know, and whatever it is, fabric, whatever I'm thinking of,
mm-hmm.
light, of course, I'd pick up my Soraya books. You know, I just
yeah.
I know my books so well; they're all like falling apart. I have hardly any
oh.
books that are in perfect condition. But
I'm so glad.
Yeah, that's
I love that. That's wonderful.
Yes. Yes. All right. Simple question next. Do you have a favorite paint color?
That's an impossible answer.
It actually you'd be surprised. People usually come up with one that they find particularly delicious at the moment.
Red and yellow.
There you go. I'll take it.
That makes sense. Do you have music or anything that you listen to while you're painting that's your favorite?
Yeah, I usually listen to jazz, piano.
Mm-hmm.
I
yeah.
Piano, American standards.
What did I see? Barbara Cook, is that right? Did I see show tunes somewhere?
Barbara Cook is show tunes, yep. That's
yeah.
nice. To Barbara Cook. I have a fabulous bunch of her CDs. Yep.
Do you sing along?
Yes. Not when I save that for the car, for my car ride.
I love it. That's the way it should be. All right, here's a fun one. Whose art do you wish you could add to your personal collection? And this can be anyone, anytime, any painting.
Well, it would be easy to say the typicals. Sergeant, of course,
mm-hmm.
all of those. But actually, Bob Kuhn, who died how many years ago? Five,
yeah.
6 years, you know. I love, if I could have one of his paintings, I would, oh my God. I love animals so much. I mean, I love animals as much as or more than I love flowers. Or maybe even
Ooh.
My family. No, I should never have said that.
No.
But
as a fellow
painting,
animal lover, yeah.
Yeah, I love his paintings. Loved his paintings. I would love to have one of his animal paintings.
Ooh,
okay.
That sounds amazing. Okay, can you share a great studio tip for our listeners?
A great studio tip. You'd never believe this if you looked at right now, but to try to be really organized. I'm actually much more organized than people would realize. Like, I have a flip file with all my galleries that I hang on the wall, and then I have a page in the front that has every single date. Like, if I'm invited to a show, I immediately write it down, destination, image due, painting due, you know, and then I put, like, a little dot. If I started the painting, I put a little dot, and then I put the size and the frame column, because that's my husband, and the price. And, you know, and I have that sheet, and it's, you know, I'm always changing it. I'll put OPA down. Oh, look, it's due September 20, whatever, you know, the image, you know. But that sort of organization, because otherwise everything would get away from me. And I'm not, I mean, I have friends that use their phone for everything, and I don't know how they do that. I don't know how you find all that stuff in your phone. But for, I'm a paper person, so I really write everything down.
Got it.
Great. That makes me think I should get more organized. Thank you for that little kick in the rear.
Well, there's a lot not organized in here that I'm destroying.
So
magazines. The downfall of my studio is art magazines.
I know.
I'm trying
hard
to go through them. What's that?
It's hard to get rid of them.
It really is, and I'm trying to just pull things out, and then I have files and files, you know, and it's like just getting away from
Of course.
Me.
Of course.
Deadly.
Kathy,
what's on, I think I know the answer to this. I think it's poppies, but what's on your easel right now?
It's not poppies, because that painting is 34 by 50, and it's in the garage right now, waiting to go out tomorrow morning. What's on my easel right now is the rhododendron painting. With this, my still life stand next to it with the deadest rhododendrons you've ever seen.
I'm so sorry. What color were they? Mine are just blooming now.
Oh, my God. That's great because you're north. Yeah.
That's right. Oh. All right. The rhododendron, we'll look for that.
That's wonderful. And the last question, Kathy, is who would you like to study with? It could be someone who is alive or dead, but whose art workshop would you want to take?
Well, I saw this question here, and I guess, there's a I just actually, Sue Lyon and I went out to Utah before the OPA, and we just spent 3 days painting with Josh Clare. You know Josh?
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's a wonderful, fabulous landscape painter, and both of us wanted to work on painting, plein air painting, you know, painting the light and capturing the subject. And I learned so much from him, and he's, I feel like he changed my life in a couple of days. Of course, there's a million other people. I mean, if you ask me what I want to study with Sargent or Josh Clare, I'd probably pick Sargent. No, Josh.
Good idea, but
understand.
It's just,
that's great.
You know, I really had such a good time, but, you know, there's lots of people I'd like to study with. They, you know, I went down, and Sue and I, Lyon and I are really close, and I went down, and she was working on portraits with me a couple of years ago. And
wonderful.
Of course,
fantastic.
I mean, I've studied with Richard Schmidt, so what can I say? That's like
I
so
know,
lucky.
I know.
Really?
Pinch yourself, my dear. I'm so impressed. Well, listen, thank you so much. I know how busy you are. Margaret, I know you are too, but thank you so much, Kathy, for joining us today on the show.
I'm really very, very flattered that you asked me, and I this was really fun.
No, it's been fantastic. So thank you, and have a wonderful day, and happy painting. I can't wait to see what comes off your easel next.
There we go. All right,
take care.
We have to get cracking.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye, all.
Bye.
Bye-bye.